with Judy Sharp for Gardening Talk Back. And I don't normally do Gardening Talk Back, so yeah. Surprise!
Well, it was a great intro, Amanda. Let's not worry about a little thing like that.
Yeah, who needs a manual stop on the desk? So what are we going to talk about today, Judy?
Well, I thought you and I would have worn green today.
Ah, because it's St. Patrick's Day. Yes.
And it figures very largely in the garden, Amanda.
Oh.
Yep, you must plant your sweet peas today.
Right, and not shamrocks or four-leaf clovers?
No, just lovely sweet peas. You can plant dwarf ones or you can plant ones that climb right up your fences and... But it is, today is the day. Yesterday wouldn't have been with the heat.
No, it was horrible.
Yeah, definitely autumn weather today, St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I did give the listeners a bit of a hint last week, Amanda. They should have prepared their soil with poultry manure.
Why?
Sweet peas love it. They love alkaline soil.
Right.
So it's a bit of a turnaround. Summer plants and... particularly annuals, they like cow manure because they like acidic soil. So we won't confuse it too much, but we definitely needed poultry manure going in a week ahead. So if our listeners haven't done that last week, they can put the poultry manure in today, but then they've got a week to wait to plant.
Right.
So the tradition of planting on St. Patrick's Day is going to be a bit delayed.
So unless they've got neighbours with chickens... And then
yeah, well, it mightn't be what can we say, melted down?
Right.
Crushed. Crushed.
Yeah. All right, so what else can we plant?
Oh, okay, at the moment it is time for Sasanqua camellias. They're blooming.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and I got a shock because, you know, the weather was so hot. And mine were particularly out in flower yesterday, but I thought about it last night, Amanda. You know, plants are very clever.
They are.
They might have felt the heat up the top, but where are their roots?
Down in the bottom, in
the cooler soil. Mm. So everyone might have got a surprise when they saw their Sasanqua was out in flower. And then I thought about it last night. As I said to you, the roots are down in the soil, so, you know, they're doing the right thing.
So when do they normally flower?
Oh, they normally flower in autumn.
Okay.
Which, so you know, I mean, this year we haven't really thought of it as autumn, have we?
Mm, well, it hasn't been autumn for very long, I suppose.
No, it hasn't really. And last week we had a lot of callers that rang in about summer problems and I think we hadn't done the swing over to autumn.
Mm.
But today it's autumn, isn't it?
It is autumn.
Definitely autumn today. So if you were planting new season's Sasanqua camellias and you wanted to fertilise the soil before you plant, put in a little bit of poultry manure and really good potting mix, dig it over and don't plant for a week because the poultry manure might burn the new little roots when you plant them.
Oh, I didn't know that manure could burn plants.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
How does that work?
Well, it's, you know, it's fairly high in, you know, in whatever it is, whether it's alkaline or whether acidic. So, you know, it can, and also too, it's coming out of a bag. So, you know, it might be getting quite warm sitting in the bag where you buy it. So, it can burn if particularly, look, what if you'd planted and then you got yesterday's heat into brand new manure? It would have burned. We had a gentleman rang last week about his mango and he had actually gone to a farm supply place and he'd bought two big bags. He's probably listening today because I wanted him to ring today and let us know how he got on. He put the whole two bags straight on the mango, right up against the trunk.
Right.
And when I finally got that out of him, I said, oh, no, gosh, go out straight away and remove that fertiliser. So hopefully he did that because it was looking pretty sad.
Right.
And it was a beautiful mango. So if he's listening today, hopefully ring us and let us know how he went. Yeah, so, but we've got other topics we can talk about today. Roses, citrus trees.
Well, roses are always popular, aren't they?
Oh, they are, yeah. And it is, you know, they're still performing so well at the moment. They don't mind that hot weather.
No, they don't. No. They don't. And hi, Bruce.
Hello, hi, Bruce.
How are you going?
Good. You had a question about bees.
Yeah, during the season, there's not many normal bees around, but there's an odd couple of native bees around. But the flowers aren't flowering as well as they should.
No, Briz, you know, and I mean, unfortunately, it is to be expected. Remember, all the hives were destroyed at one stage.
That's correct.
Yes, and I have spoken to a lot of people that actually have ordered new hives, and I think they tend to get them from Queensland. And one gentleman told me that he's waited 3 and 4 months and he still hasn't got his hive.
So, probably a lack of queen bees too.
Could be too. So, you know, that answers why we're not seeing any bees around, because of that process that did take place, unfortunately. So it's going to take a while for the little darlings to get back in action again.
Yeah, we do get the odd native fat bee, which is quite enjoyable to watch, but, yeah, it's never the same as it used to be.
No, it's not, Bruce, but it will change, darling, honestly. You know, someone in your area will probably locate a new hive and then they'll come over and visit you with a bit of luck.
Well, Dad, when he was alive, he had two hives in the backyard, and then we had a bit of a mishap and we had to destroy the boxes. But, we had plenty of bees. And the queen bee moved on, and most of the bees went with it. They're hanging off the tree and everything like that. So,
yeah, and they certainly follow the queen, don't they?
They do. And it's certainly lovely to see them all flying around.
Yeah, Bruce, I think, you know, just keep your fingers crossed, keep your eye out, and hopefully someone in your area might have a new beehive, and they'll come and visit you as well.
Yeah, it'll be lovely.
No easy answer to that one, Bruce. I am sorry.
No, thank you. Thanks for your call, Bruce.
Okay, bye.
Take care, bye. Okay, next we've got Margaret from Charlestown. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. My question is, over the years I've bought conifers. Hello?
Yes, I'm absorbing, Margaret.
Sorry. And I've had to have them removed because they've got too big. Now, the last one I purchased was only supposed to grow to about 1.5 feet.
Right.
And it's gone up to 6 feet, so I'm going to have someone, you know, come and cut this one out as well.
Margaret, can you remember the name of the variety?
It was a Sudger. Just a moment, I'll look at the tag. Hang on.
Oh, good. That's wonderful.
It just says Sudger Blue Cone.
Right, okay.
Well, on the tag, it's got 1.5 feet, you know.
Yeah, would that be metres, though, I would imagine?
No.
It's got 1.5 feet.
Hang on, I'll just put my glasses on. I bought it because it was only a short one. I'll just make sure.
And if it's a blue one, they often are short.
Yeah, 1.5 metre. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 1.5 metre.
So has it reached that yet?
Oh, yes, I've kept cutting the top off the damn thing. It goes to 6 feet, you know, over me. I'm 5 foot something and it gets bigger than me.
Yeah, well, you know, when you cut a conifer, it does probably stimulate their growth, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, have you got it in the ground or in a pot?
It's in the ground.
Yeah, are you only looking for dwarf ones?
Yes, yeah, just dwarf one to sit next to the clothesline.
Yeah, well, look, I make sure when you buy the next one that it has dwarf on it.
Okay, I don't think I've seen one with a dwarf on it.
Oh, yes, yeah, there are varieties that are labelled dwarf.
All right, I'll make sure I get dwarf on it.
Yeah, you know what you could probably do is Google too when you've got 5 minutes and just pick out some dwarf varieties on there. You know, put into Google dwarf varieties. And that might give you a bit of a hand.
Yeah, oh, I mean, it's been in 10 years, so...
10 years, has it? Oh,
yeah,
well, poor little thing.
10 years.
Well, don't dig it out then.
Before COVID. Everything's befeezy.
Yeah, but don't dig it out. Give it another home. You know, dig around it and perhaps put it in a pot. But I think it's beyond that now. Sorry, Margaret.
Yeah, all right. Look, thanks, Judy. And the root system... Are they terribly invasive or not?
No, they're not, unless it's a really big one.
And what about those Marias?
Oh, Morayas, they can start to get a lot of growth on them too. I mean, but they're very prunable.
Yes, but the root system.
Oh, the root system. Look, if you're keeping it down, the roots shouldn't get that big. It's the pruning that keeps the root system down.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'll leave it to it. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
bye.
Margaret. We've got Greg, the mango tree destroyer on the line. Oh. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Greg. We're so glad you rang today.
Yes, mango tree dying quite rapidly.
Oh, no.
Yes, I've been, I've done what you suggested, scraped away from the stem about a foot away in either direction, and I water it every 2 days, but it's done the damage, I think.
Oh, I think so, Greg. We got onto it too late. But,
we did.
It must be a good fertiliser, but it's burnt, unfortunately.
Yes. The leaves are turning, wilting, turning brown and just dropping off, Judy.
Oh, now, look, Greg, let's hang in.
Yes.
You know, last week when we talked, I did say to you to dig it away, but I did say put all that fertiliser back in the bags. I'd get it right away from it.
Yes, I'm thinking about doing that if I get a chance. I just got to put it out. I'll put it out in a heap on the lawn somewhere, you know, and yes.
Is the lawn getting burnt?
Not now, but a mite later.
Well, Greg, we'll hear from you again next week, won't we?
We will. I pulled it back to its boundaries, all the fertiliser, so I will. I'll shovel it out now and just... It was growing so great without this fertiliser.
Oh, well, you know, you've got to read on the bag how much to apply.
I have. Lesson learnt, Judy.
Yeah. Okay, Greg, look, thanks for the call. I was a bit worried about how you were going with that one, but please don't dig it out yet. Just keep the water up to it and let's see. It might make new shoots.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, and I was the lawnmower fella. What about grass, once I dig it out, grass clippings, will they burn or...?
Oh, look, you'd be better off. You're doing that just to stop weeds?
Well, I will be in the future.
Oh,
yes.
Look, I'd just use sugarcane mulch.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'll go that way.
Don't test your luck too far there, Greg.
No.
Good luck and let us know again.
I will. Bye, Judy.
Bye, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. This is Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM, and we've got Mari from Charlestown on the phone. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, but I have a tree that needs some help.
Oh, Mari, it sounds sad.
Yes, it's just a branch that has snapped. It hasn't snapped right off. And I know that you can sometimes bandage them up and put a lotion in them to stop disease, and they will bond back, you know, onto the branch again. So I was wondering what it is that... you put round them and spray them or plant them with.
Okay, Mari, it's called Steriprune.
Steriprune, okay.
Steriprune, and it comes in a spray, you know, a dispenser spray bottle or tin, or it comes in a jar or a tin. Now, I always suggest you use the one in the jar because the sprayer can sometimes block up. And all you do is buy a cheap paintbrush and paint it on with that. But, Mari, before we go any further, can you tell me how much of the branch is still attached?
About half, probably two-thirds.
Oh, okay, rightio. Good luck with that. So, yeah, bandaging is definitely the secret. Give it a good coating with a Steriprune.
Is there anything, any special bandage?
Oh, no, look, I'd use a crepe bandage probably so you can pull it pretty tight.
Yes, what I've done at the moment is just put a plastic cord around it so that it's up against where it came out of.
Right,
so,
okay, that's wise,
it up
yeah.
To another, so that would be all right, just like that.
Look, and probably after you do the steri pruning, I'd like to see you actually bandage it if you can.
Okay. I thought this. Yes, I thought. Well, this is an emergency method, but
it's worked. Probably it has helped.
Yes, and thank you very much for that.
Okay, so you've got the name steri prune.
Yes. I've written that down, and I'll go and see what I can find. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mari. Bye.
Thank you. Next, we've got Alan from Patterson on the line. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Alan. I've got a problem with the Kākiu lawn. We have extensive lawns because we're a sort of a farm. And there's been just large areas suddenly dying, like five metres in diameter, just all dead.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what's causing this and whether there's anything you can do to stop it.
Well, Alan, only this morning when I was sitting down, you know, thinking of the time of year and everything, and we've had a very hot summer, but we haven't seemed to have had any army grub. And you have heard of army grub, no doubt.
And yes,
that's what it does. It just wipes out the lawn.
I understand they go on a front rather than this is just a large oval area or something like that, you know.
You know what you can do, Alan? You get an old piece of carpet or a potatoes come in them, one of those.
Oh, a hessian bag.
A hessian bag. Thank you very much, Amanda. Yes, you get a hessian bag and then you wet it and put it down over that area, get up in the morning and turn it over and you should have the grubs up under that.
Right.
And that will be the test for you before you do anything else.
Right.
Okay. Because, I am concerned. No one has been asking me about army grub, and they must be out there, particularly when we've had this last flush of summer. So I think you need to test it first, Alan, and I'm sure you're going to find there's grubs come up.
Yes. Thanks for the advice.
That's okay, Alan. Do ring us back if you'd like to next week, and I hope that served the problem. Solve the problem.
Well, because I guess an insecticide would...
Yes, definitely, yeah. There are insecticides you can use, yeah.
A systemic insecticide.
Yeah. It's called Army Grub Killer. And, a few different companies make it, so you won't have any problems finding it, but you probably need to ascertain first that that is the problem.
Righto.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Alan. All the best. And we should have Pam on the line from Nord's Wharf. You there, Pam?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Pam. Can I help you?
Yes. Can you tell me how I can make my rhubarb grow better?
Now tell me, is your rhubarb red?
Yes, some of the stalks are, not all of them, but they're little.
Right.
They're only 6 inches at the most.
Oh, now tell me, are they in the ground or in a pot?
They're in a pot.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, is it a good-sized pot so they can spread and rise to the surface?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, that's good. Now, when you planted, did you use any fertiliser?
For some of them, I think the guy down the road has birds, and I think I used some of that, some of bird poo.
Right, okay. Rightio. Pam, I think we need to do something about that. Now, you probably need to give it a little bit of cow manure, not real close to the plant. You needed to make your soil better before you planted it. But I think now what you need to do is see if you can find Flourish, it's a liquid fertiliser, for fruit and vegetables.
Yep.
And that's very good to use in a pot. And you can use it every day. Oh, sorry, not every day, every week. We're having a bad day today. Flourish for fruiting.
Okay.
Fruit and vegetables. You. And, Pam, that will simply solve the problem for you, I'm sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good you're one. Quite welcome.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you. All the best.
Bye.
Okay, next we've got Chris from Merriweather. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. You want a good product for controlling clover in a buffalo lawn.
Yeah.
And it is St. Patrick's Day,
I've tried Bindi a couple of times, and it started to work reasonably well, and then tends to fade out, and then the clover tends to spread out.
Yeah, it does.
On the weekend, used a high iron compound, but it doesn't seem to be having any effect at all.
Right, okay. Look, I'm surprised that Bindi isn't keeping it under control for you. A couple of questions, Chris. Are you letting it grow so there's plenty of growth on there?
There is plenty of growth. It's a very, very small leaf, though. It's not the typical large lobe clover, but just a very light green three lobe.
Right. But the grass itself, the lawn itself, has a bit of growth on it.
Very healthy, yes.
Okay, rightio. Well, don't mow that off because you need it to be growing. And I would spray it. You need, not today, but would have been ideal day yesterday. I think you need to stick with the one you've used. That is the best one.
Okay, no trouble at all.
Yeah, but Chris, I've got a confession to make. I'm in Merriweather and I've got clover in my lawn and I'm not beating it.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just a case of letting it grow. And you know, when it's in the summer and the spring, we're tempted to keep mowing, but you need that growth happening. And you need to put it on in the morning so you've got 6 hours of sun.
Ah, well, that could have been my downfall before. Typically, it had been applied late in the day.
Uh-huh. No, that's not the answer. Right. So, unfortunately, you're going to buy some more now and have another go.
No, I'm happy to.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your help. Thanks, Judy.
You're welcome, Chris. Bye.
Thanks, Chris. Bye. Good times, great music too, and URFM, and it's Gardening Talk back with Judy Sharp. We've got a few more minutes left, and we've got Jim from Bonnells Bay. Hi.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, and you're probably not if you've got the army grub.
I've had them. I think I've got it under control. And that I moved here 5 months ago. I previously lived in Roman Terrace, and I had them 2 years in a row. They absolutely smashed my Bermuda Tiff Tuff. And where I am now, I've got a bit of a mix of, I've got some buffalo and I've got buffalo that's overtaking koi. And that's where they got into one patch in that. And I got onto them pretty quick. And my method of finding them is just to pour soapy water on the ground.
And they come up, yes, yeah.
And then you can treat them with your chemicals.
And one you used, Jim, that worked for you?
It did. It's the base thing's called bifectin or something like that.
You mean that's the chemical in it?
Bifenthrin.
Right. Okay.
That's called grubber ant and pest control.
Yeah.
And it livens them up. They don't like it at all.
That's what we want, yeah. But it is strange, Jim, because, you know, I haven't had any callers this year about army grub.
Well, they're here. They got my neighbour's backyard.
Yeah.
And
people mustn't be looking at their lawns. They mustn't be getting fussy anymore about it.
Well, I go around each morning now and I find where the moth has laid the eggs. It's usually up under eaves and gutters, and I get up and wipe them off and don't give them a chance to hatch.
Well, that's a good hint, Jim, yeah.
Yeah, and
you might be able to get a job going around doing that for people.
I'm well and truly retired, thanks.
They are a pest, aren't they? They can be a real pest.
You know, they just seem to go for the softer grasses, softer roots.
Yeah, they do, definitely.
They don't touch buffalo. It must be too tough for them. They probably would if there was nothing else. But they've had a go at some of my wife's plants as well in the garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Little horrors. Well, the gentleman that rang us, I'm trying to think what kind of lawn he had. I think it might have been Kaikyu.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was Kaikyu, yeah.
Well, in my previous place, I had a neighbour who had a beautiful buffalo lawn. He's never got touched, and my Bermuda got smashed.
Yeah.
2 years in a row.
And what have you got now, Jim? It's a mixture.
I'm still working. It's a work in progress, but I'm trying to get the buffalo to take over.
Right, okay. Way to go, way to go.
Yep.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much for the call, and looks like you're under control, though.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, we're almost out of time, Judy.
We are.
We've had a busy morning, haven't we?
We have, definitely, yeah.
And hopefully you can get to more about your sweet peas, or we can find out how people's sweet peas are going.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? We always like to hear the end result.
And we can go on and talk about roses as well next week, maybe.
Yes, yeah, roses, citrus, it's that time of year.
It is. Well, Greg will be back next week, actually, so he can talk about roses and you can grill him. You've been pretty good today. You haven't grilled me,
well,
so I'm pretty happy.
Well, I thought we were too busy to grill you.
Yeah.
And I knew you had the answers, Amanda, so I picked my target.
That's right. Thank you very much. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.